Hello and welcome to Birdcamp. Oh, you fucking idiot. I'm leaving that in. A Birdcamp Wonderland, an Arsenal podcast. This episode is ABW meets the Gooners in the USA. With me tonight, I have the leader of the self-proclaimed ASS, which is the Anti-Socratist Society. It's only Jason Davis. So you're the lead member of ASS. How are you getting on with that?
Dickie Wilson stitching me up again. What can I say? Hey, he did okay on Sunday. I'm not going to knock him this week.
Good. Lovely. Also, the two and only people that belong to the Gooners in the USA podcast is Mike in sunny Washington, the home of Wayne Rooney. You all right, Mike?
Yes, absolutely. I'm avoiding him on the streets of D.C. Late at night. And I've done so far so good on that. But thank you for having me on.
It's a pleasure. And also we have your much maligned, much misunderstood, much abused partner in crime. It's Andy in the home of Stan Kroenke. All right, Andy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Fat, bald, hungry.
Would you rather live in the home of Stan Kroenke or the home of Wayne Rooney? That's a tough one.
Quite frankly,
yeah, that is a tough one.
You both should be disgusted. Actually, Andy, you could live in Kroenke's back garden and not even know it. You could just buy the whole of your town, and you would have you couldn't do anything about it, could you?
It's extremely true.
Okay, right. As it's impossible to shut Mike up for more than 30 seconds, Mike, tell us about how your podcast got started.
Andy started it.
Well done, Andy. Tell me how your podcast got started, because Mike seems to have no idea.
Well, yeah, no, it's a good story. I met Mike, and he begged me to be his friend. And
I've had a few of those WhatsApps too.
Yeah, and I still get monthly payments, which is wonderful.
The annuity goes through 2021.
No, I was kind of thinking, would love to do a pod from an American perspective. The couple that were in the U.S. at the time just didn't have the humor. Had met Mike a few months before, met him in person a couple weeks before, and then just said to him, "Hey, should we do this?" And I think he was thinking, "You're fucking crazy. We just met." And we did a couple. And then Danny, I think you were the first person to actually reach out and go, "Hey, you guys are good at this. Keep doing it." That's why we kept doing it.
I get this text from some guy I met in when the Arsenal was in California in the summer of 2016. And I had met this guy. He was all right. And I forgot all about him the next day. But then I got a text from him a couple of weeks later. And it was like, "Hey, you want to do a podcast?" And I'm like, I know a couple podcasts. I've heard of these Birdcamp Wonderland folks. I know Ars Blog. Like, why would anybody listen to us? And we're still asking ourselves that question.
We do.
I liked his vision. I liked his large-scale view of the world and comedy. And I was like, all right, well, we'll give it a try. And we podcasted, like, to my son and to a couple of our friends and Andy's mom. And then all of a sudden, I look at the numbers, because we had to see whether we either had 50 or 60 people listening, because that was the joy of it. And all of a sudden,
we had 40.
It was like, no, all of a sudden, it's hundreds and hundreds of people. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened? And wouldn't you know it, it was you mentioning us, something having to do with, who was it that, one of the players, what the hell is his name? He just got sold, Chuba Abcom. And how we couldn't pronounce it right. So that was the moment that changed everything. So we owe a great debt of gratitude to you. But we've been doing it this is our third season now. I'd like to think that we've built a little bit of chemistry despite not seeing each other in person once since we started doing the podcast. But it's fun. I've never done something so fun.
So you two met each other on holiday in California?
Yeah, we
were both there for the Arsenal.
Were you at a clinic?
For the summer tour.
Oh, I thought it was some rehabilitation clinic, some deviance clinic.
It was the sexual addiction clinic.
Oh, Jace, you got any questions for him? He's going to get his chicken out of the oven, hasn't he?
I'm here.
It's 4 inches, Jace, but very thick.
Chicken alone.
I can't say what I'm saying now. Stop it. you guys have been doing it for how long, Ken, now?
Two years. This is the beginning of the third season for us. So we're coming up on our I have to do the calculations, but our 100th episode is sometime in the next month or so. So we'll have a big bonanza, I guess, for that.
Bearing in mind, okay, I got a bit, like, I you know, we podcast with ABW, and there's a few of us now, you know what I mean? And some of them are the most irritating people on the planet.
You leave Chris alone, for fuck's sake, he'll hear this.
did you guys ever get annoyed with each other? Because
God,
Mike gets annoyed with me because I'm very limited with my schedule. It's the Hollywood lifestyle that I live, and so
he's constantly getting pedicures instead of doing podcasts. Said it's a pod, not a ped. Yeah, and he gets annoyed with me because you don't think I shut up on the thing? You should see the number of chat groups that we're in. How needy I can be. The ideas that I come up with, where maybe I've gotten one out of 30 that have actually been good for the podcast. So yeah, I mean, yeah, of course let's just say that if we got along all the time about everything, I don't think it would be nearly as entertaining.
No,
as it is. But we certainly, I think. I have a massive amount of respect for Andy, as hard and as annoying as it could be to try to get the structure of the podcast on a regular basis. When the light goes on, it's magic. I think I just had sex with a guy as I said that. That was the gayest thing I've ever said. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No. Which one of you is the driving force then?
Both of us equally.
I think we're equal. I do more of the posting. Mike does of the pod and getting it ready to actually put it out. And Mike does, I mean, the guy's a scheduling genius. I mean, he'll text me and say, hey, we got this person coming on the pod. I'm like, how in the hell did you get Kevin Campbell? We might have another Arsenal legend coming on in a few weeks. And so I think we have a good 50-50 split. Actually, I'm going to say Mike does 60, I do 40.
Wow.
Maybe 70-30.
Keep going. No, just
I need to pull my weight.
It's never been a problem though, because you know, we enjoy it. So I mean, I didn't realize this would be so good for our ego doing this podcast. So I could go for another 45 minutes just on this topic. But no, it's fun. It's stupid. I can't believe anyone listens to us. But you know, and our listening, our following is small, but like sharp. Like I feel like you could get 200,000 people watching you every week, and 198,000 of them are going to be 12-year-olds who can't spell, you know, who clog up your timeline on Twitter with stupid banter back and forth. We don't have that, but what we do have are listeners who, like, we've connected with, we've met. I met one of our listeners, the Texas Gooner, at the pub this week, had a wonderful time with him. There's just this commonality with the people that listen to us. And I think it's just because we don't take ourselves too seriously, and that's been the most fun part of it so far. Is just, you know, meeting new people through the podcast, and that includes you guys.
Well, myself and Danny have both been on, and I know I had a great time, and Danny said the same. You know,
I didn't.
Danny, you've been on like 9 times, and I'm yet to see you enjoy yourself.
It's just the way he rolls. You know
literally.
What I mean? Yeah. and it's been a blast, it really has. You know, it's always been fun to go on. I mean, we did the Miguel Delaney one.
Oh yeah, no, that you can't
for that. That
was fun. Andy was spending Thanksgiving in Mexico, and I was desperate for somebody who had a strong sense of opinion on that to help me batter Miguel Delaney into submission.
Jason,
I didn't have to look like a bad guy.
No, it was so funny. He goes, I just couldn't. I didn't have the Wi-Fi, and he's like, I don't want to do this without you. I don't want to do this without you, but it's here, it's now, and we've got to go. And then he said, who should I have? I think I'm going to ask Jason. I said, that's the perfect person to replace me. Go, go, go. And he felt so guilty. I'm like, no, this is going to be wonderful. And it was so good.
To be fair, it was the second time I was on your show in a matter of 2 days. You know what I mean?
That's true, it was. You had just been on, I think. And Andy likes to watch, so it was kind of arousing for him anyway.
To be fair to Miguel Delaney, he was a good guy.
He was a good sport.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you
have to agree, but it was at least semi-respectful of a conversation.
It got heated. it did get heated. But it's the thing, I mean, you guys have been doing it for 2 years. I mean, I'm always amazed by, you know, our listeners and the people who sort of take part in the podcast, and they always send questions in, or they're always on the in the chat box on the live shows. Who's shocked you the most of the people who listen to you?
We've had quite a lot of female listeners that that continue to listen that I get shocked because we're just such a immature, you know, there's no dick joke that won't make it onto the pod. So yeah. For me, I always get shocked when a female listener is like, oh, I've been listening for years, months, whatever it is. I don't know about you, Mike, but that just for me.
Becca from Iowa has been listening to us for 6 years and we've only met 2 years ago.
So, I know.
So she was definitely our first female listener and religious to this day. Listen, so but she's not the only one, although we thought she was for a while. But
yeah,
I mean, and for me, just, you know, finding, I know he didn't listen until we were in touch with him, but just knowing that every once in a while, Kevin, you know, an ex-player will put on the podcast, Kevin Campbell, and listen to us.
Can I tell you guys how sweet Mike is? So last year, he was having drinks with Kevin Campbell at the pub, and it was my birthday.
Courtesy of Luke Judges.
Yeah, he had the wherewithal to say, hey, Kevin, can you FaceTime Andy from my phone and wish him a happy birthday? And that absolutely made my year. Same year my son was born. And I remember I was holding Ollie, and he was wearing an Arsenal hat. And even Kevin was like, oh, baby Gunnar. But that, like, for me, is how sweet of a person Mike is. And so forever in his debt. So now I've got to try and one-up him. So I'm constantly, like, Ian Wright from me got a restraining order.
You have to take live video of yourself telling Theo Walcott to fuck off. can I tell you to fuck off again? But this time I'm going to FaceTime my mate while we do that.
I'm never going to live that down.
See, I think one of the most important things about your pod is that you're funny, because Arsenal has been shit for regularly for most seasons recently. We've had some ups, but there's been a lot of downs. And if you've got the humour and you're self-deprecating, I think that's the right word.
It's the only way to cope.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times can we talk about, you know, about formations and capitulations? And I mean, you just, you know, it's
oh, the bloody bell.
And how bell ends, that how many bell ends we have on it. I mean, it's just, it gets depressing after a while. So the only way to handle that is to try to just make light of it. And God forbid, when we ascend to the throne of the top levels of the football league and of the UEFA, we can have fun and enjoy it at the same time.
Andy, what about my idea? For people who don't know, every time there's an English-ism, then Mike will whack his bell. So I said that, because Andy is actually English, but he's been brought up in America. And I said, what you should do, every time someone does a step up to the plate or knocked it out of the park, you should have an Americanism sound, like maybe someone going, yee-haw, or something like that.
Oh, that's great.
He does have that. You have the fart app, don't you?
Yeah, so every time Mike mentions that he's moved to England in 1989, I have to use the fart app.
Right, tell people that story quickly.
Oh, God.
I'm on my phone, so I can't use it. But
I've been asked
from a group of friends closer to Mike than me, who's known for a lot longer, is like, Andy, use the fart app. So
yeah, I've just been asked to tell the story, so I can't.
For the
really,
first time ever.
Yeah, well, normally I'm just shoving it down people's throats, but
easy.
But yeah, the reason I became an Arsenal supporter is because my family moved to London in 1988, actually 30 years ago. God damn. And I became an Arsenal fan within about a month of living there, because they were on the same tube line, the Piccadilly line, as I lived on. So it was an easy trip up there to Arsenal. And so, of course, being there in 88, 89, with the fever pitch moment and the win at Anfield, kind of left an impression on me when I moved back to the States in 1990. And when I started meeting people that watched Arsenal at the pub here, like just maybe 5-6 years ago, and I started going out to watch games, I had this need to have instant credibility. So it was 89, 89, 89 all the time. And my friend John Horlick, God, I mean, I call him a friend, you know, because I want to be generous. But no, I love the guy. He just, like, started pointing out the fact that every other word out of my mouth was 89. So it started with that, and it's become kind of a thing now. So I know there's another person in the podcast universe that gets accused of that quite a bit. And that's one of many things she and I have in common. But I do tend to reflect quite positively on it. And it is going to be the 30th anniversary this year, Andy. So let me just tell you, when we get closer to May,
It's I'm coming
have
back.
Michael, we're gonna have Michael Thomas on. Jesus. We're gonna have Lee Dixon on. We're gonna have all 11 play. Well, 10 of the 11 players, unfortunately, from that team. We're gonna have on the podcast. That's my dream come true.
I feel old though. I feel old.
Well, we're the same age, Jace.
Were you like 40 years old when that happened?
I was gonna be nice.
Andy, tell us your story of how you become an Arsenal fan, because you're a fellow Englishman, aren't you? Like with
yes.
I was born in Hemel Hempstead.
Which is true. I grew up in a West Ham household, but I had two neighbors who were about 6 to 10 years older than me, and they were both Arsenal mad, gave me all their kits. They used to invite me over to watch the. I remember we watched Ian Wright's goals of the season on VHS, and that was it. I got stuck, hooked, and I remember the first game was Sheffield Wednesday in the Coca-Cola Cup back in the day, or Littlewoods Cup. And so probably 92. But yeah, I just grew up in an area close enough where there were enough supporters. Yep. So that's how I became a supporter.
Kept it going when you moved to the States, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it was, you know, when I moved to the U.S., I mean, I could only get updates in the newspaper. And then Fox created an American channel. And then ESPN would show Champions League. But I remember when I was freshman at university, I had to go to an Irish pub to watch the Arsenal-Chelsea FA Cup, and we had to pay the $100 pay-per-view fee to get it on the TV, and it was just my dad and I watching. And now, in that same town, Milwaukee, where I went to school, there's probably 6 pubs that will open at 5 a.m. for matches, so it's grown significantly. But, yeah, so every time I come back, I try and get to a game or two and try and follow them home and away.
That does intrigue me. I mean, you know, obviously we have Dom and OG in the pod with ourselves.
And Shredder.
But, Shreds, of course. But, you know, you guys get up at stupid o'clock, you go to a boozer, and, you know, the lengths foreign fans go to follow the Arsenal is superb.
Well, Andy's folks in, though.
I do now. Yes and no. If it's a big match, I'll get up and I'll watch it live. And I'm extremely lucky. I've got 2 people behind me, one from England and an American, who are diehard Arsenal supporters.
You mean in the house behind you, right?
I mean, excuse me, two people that live behind me. So I'm lucky.
Taking an absolute beating.
Yeah, I'm lucky I have a little crew, Jesus, in my neighborhood. But, you know, 5 a.m. kickoff here, we have a supporters group, the Denver Gooners, and there's a guy named Drew who runs it. He'll go out and buy donuts, and before the pub opens, he'll have donuts and beer outside in the snow waiting before we can even go in, because there's laws in Colorado that they can't sell liquor before 7 a.m., so people will go outside, have drinks, and then go in before the match. So, yeah,
beer bottle through the hole in the donut? And then, like, eat it around that way?
I haven't done that, Mike.
That's hot.
Oh, dude. Everyone just have a moment for that. That is a little taster of what you're going to get if you listen to their podcast regularly, you should do.
We'll make a gif of that later.
Oh, Jesus. He's going full out today. He's going full out. But to be fair, I mean, you know, foreign fans sometimes get ignored by certain sections of sort of the football fandom world. But the lengths people go to all over the world is just amazing.
Yeah. It is. Like, I think, you know, we have to get up early. But think of the fans in Australia that watch it in the middle of the night, in Asia. I mean, it's not just it's everywhere. It's absolutely incredible. And, it, you know, I know when Wrighty last year had that big hit, the big issue with, and it's like
I came on your pod right after that.
Yeah, and I've met fans who have become Arsenal fans, supporters, during the drought, and I always say why? Well, I love the way they played football. I love this particular player, and they could have easily jumped on the City, Chelsea, United, but there was just something. And every once in a while, I'll see someone wearing like a West Brom kit, and I'll say, where are you from? And they're Americans, and they're young, and they're just like, I watched a match, and I fell in love. And so it's very just unique. And quick story, I met a guy wearing a city shirt at a beer festival here in Denver, and I jokingly said to him, nice, I had room on the bandwagon for you, and walked away. And it just kind of gave me a look. And then he found me later, and he said, it bothers me because I've been a City supporter since I was stationed in Manchester. And the reason I became a City supporter was I hated United. I hated the, and this was back in the 90s, and he named his son Vincent after Vincent Kompany. And so we've become friends now. Enormous head. Yeah, but it's just interesting. The stories that you hear across the globe of how people support this team or other teams, it's exceptional.
Yeah, mate, you should have turned around and said, bullshit, you're lying.
He did show me a picture of his son wrapped in a Vincent Kompany kit when he was born. So I couldn't call bullshit.
Yeah, you can. You can. You can. Okay. Just turn around and say, that doesn't look like you.
Yeah, Vincent Kompany didn't play for them in the 90s.
Yeah, he's full of it.
But his son wasn't born in the 90s, Mike.
Well, yeah, that's fine. But anyway, I have a friend who whose daughter was born, and they wrapped her in a Gary Maba jersey, so...
God.
Oh, what have you done? Don't poke the bear.
I'd hide his insulin.
We need to do a second 4-hour show where you just talk about who you hate. That was the greatest bit you guys have ever done. It just organically happened too. But anyway.
Anyway. Fucking Glenn Oddle.
This could be turned from a 45-minute show to 5 hours. Right, next thing I want to talk about, start with you, Andy. What's your thoughts on the transfer window so far? I say so far, it's ended. Apart from a few that could leave, because I think you can still
flog. I mean, we're going to get Dembele on loan, right?
Probably.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
According to the plug.
You know, I'm okay with the transfer window. If I had to grade it, I'd give it a B. I thought we did well. We plugged some of the holes that we've needed to plug. The reason I'm okay with it is because under this new regime, this new manager and his coaches, we don't know what we have. Like, Mustafi should improve. I think Iwobi's going to improve. So if he's looked at the squad and said, okay, I can make these players better, I want to give him time before we say we should be replacing. I would have loved another center back with Koscielny being out for so long. But for me, I thought it was a decent transfer window. I want to see where we're at Christmas before we really look and say, okay, this is obvious holes. But, you know, I think Mustafi is a good enough player. I think he is going to be a world-class center defender with a good coach. And I think we've got that now. So for me, I'm okay with it. I thought we did pretty well.
Mike, your thoughts on the transfer window, and do you think possibly anybody could leave because they can still go?
If we can swindle someone into taking Carl Jenkinson, maybe he'll go. I mean, he's not in our plans at all, but I mean, whereas I think he had told Welbeck he could leave, now all of a sudden he seems to be a part of our plans. So, I mean, maybe one, maybe two might leave, but...
He's our new left back.
He's our new left back. Our eighth choice left back, which we are now down to. I'm fine. You know, I share a lot of Andy's point of view with regards to the window. I've looked at this summer and this whole season, actually, as an assessment period for some of our players who have regressed or shown some concerning parts of the last year or so. That's you're talking about Bellerin, Mustafi, Xhaka, Iwobi, even Ozil. I mean, we don't really know what they're going to do in a system that we're going to be hopefully finding and playing going forward. And we won't know that after one game. We won't know that after 10 games. We won't even know that after 15 games. We'll know it after the season. So if you come in and you spend £150 million or more, replace a bunch of people based on how they've played over the last few years with new people, and you and get the fart buzzer ready. If you swing and miss, you can be set back. There you go. You can be set back a number of years. And I think we've seen that happen with a couple of teams who have gone through these transitions in recent years. So I am in favor of measured plugging of holes, like Andy says. We've done that with
Torreira. How did you just say plugging of holes without a sexual reference?
I thought it was just understood. I didn't have to like do the special voice work.
Carry on.
You know, we've added some role players. Lichtsteiner, I absolutely love. I don't know how much he'll play this season, but I hope it's plenty. Guendouzi obviously looks like a superstar if he can grow without having too much too soon. So, I mean, I think it's fine. It's not the greatest, most aggressive window. It's not what Liverpool have done, but Liverpool's at a different phase than we are. They're maybe 2 or 3 years ahead of where we are. And I'm fine doing this and trying to see, can we get this sixth place team back into fourth or third, maybe surprise and do better. But and hopefully with the extra money from the Champions League, make that splash next season, knowing better who we can get rid of and not have them finally return to being good someplace else, like a Mo Salah at Chelsea type of situation.
I would like to have seen Ramsey secured it by this point. I think for me, and
you're
I know
just kissing up to you're just kissing. Well, up to Jason.
I mean, he and I have had offline conversations about Ramsey, but so I'm not just kissing Jace's ass, but I do think that he is pinnacle to this team. I want to see him with the captain's armband, and I would love to have seen a 4 or 5 year contract done earlier in the summer, and then had Unai come out and just said he's going to lead us forward, and hopefully you get a full season out of him. Without injury, and unfortunately that's not the case already, but that for me would have been the perfect transfer window, because we would have, like Mike and I have just said, been give the right players the time under new management, but have that leader already established, and I would hate to lose him. We've invested so much in the kid, and he's in the prime of his life. He's in the prime years right now.
Are you going to grill them, Jace, while I'm eating strawberries?
I mean, Jace, can I ask you, what are your thoughts as a Welshman on his contract situation? Because in a few months, we're going to get into that Alexis Sanchez, what are you doing?
We're already there.
Except
for the Strops and the Wanaway.
Right. But we are going to get into that. Is he staying? So what do you think?
I genuinely don't know. I mean, I look at it with two caps on, okay? My Arsenal cap says, just get him signed, get it sorted, get it done. He's integral to everything we do well. I thought on Sunday, he was played in a position which doesn't get the best out of him. He's got to be played in the centre. He's a B2B midfielder. All this nonsense of him playing 10 for Wales is rubbish. Okay, he plays a higher role for Wales, not a 10, but a higher role, because we play a midfield trio with Joe Allen and Joe Ledley. So he's allowed to roam. But, him leading the line on Sunday didn't work well. But, you know, that's one of the things Emery's going to learn. But as an Arsenal fan, I just want him signed up and tied down. If, as a Welsh football fan, if I was him, I'd go. I genuinely, if I was him, I'd go.
Why would you go?
I just think he gets a bit too much grief. You know what I mean? Everything's twisted. Maybe this is just modern society, but each and every time you hear somebody, oh, blah, 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 you know, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. You know, he never plays in position. Whenever you watch Aaron Ramsey play, whether it be for Wales or whether it be for Arsenal, he does exactly what the manager asks him to do.
Yeah.
He does exactly what he's told. That's his great strength. He does exactly what he's asked to do. Now, whether you think that's right or not is by the by. Whether you think the performance is good is by the by. That's what the manager's asked him to do. And that's what he always does. You watch him play for Wales, whether it be against Belgium, whether it be, you know, against England in the World Cup. You know, yes, he'll have bad games. Of course he will. Okay. But he does exactly what he's asked to do. But, you know, I just think, you know, he just gets so much shit off fans. If you take a look back over the last few years of his Instagram account or his social media, some of the stuff said to him is beyond the pale. So, you know, if I was him, genuinely, I'd say fuck you and I'd go.
But, you know, for me, Ramsey is, if he signs this next contract, he has the opportunity and the ability to have his name on the stadium with pictures. Because think of all he's been
Aaron
at Arsenal
Ramsey Stadium.
No. His picture.
I know what you meant.
Yeah, But, like, the goals he scored in games that matter, the leadership that he's had on this for this team, you give him that captain's armband with this lat. I mean, he'll get the testimony on everything else. And he's got the skill and the ability to be one of the best central midfielders, you know. I think under Unai, that's totally possible. So I hope to God he re-signs, he gets the armband, and he's just – we build this team around him. But we were saying yesterday, Jace, when we recorded with Same Old, it's hard to see him and Ozil in the team together. But as you have said, just give him the B2B role and let him roam. Just let him do his thing.
The thing is, okay, he's 36th in the all-time Arsenal appearances list. Okay, 36th already, you know? He's our highest scoring central midfielder ever. You know, he scored the winning goal in two FA Cups in the time that's called the drought, which in my lifetime as an Arsenal fan was hardly a drought, you know? He's already done enough to be up there. Already done enough to be there. You know, people talk about Cesc. Cesc went on strike, feigned injury to force a move. You know, RVP, the shenanigans he got up to and what have you. You know, Ramsey also decked RVP. For that reason alone, he deserves a statue. do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's one of these things where...
It wasn't Alexis's best friend either.
Yeah, I'm kind of bored with it all. I really am bored with the Aaron Ramsey thing. It's a case of, if you don't like him, fine, I don't care. I couldn't give a monkeys. But when you deal in, you know, football is about facts. It's about goals scored. It's about, you know, the appearances on the pitch and what have you, and turning up and delivering. And meanwhile, you know, certain players, if you look at Sunday's performance, certain players did not put great performances in. You know, Ramsey does exactly what he's asked to do, game in, game out. Was it his best game Sunday? No, it probably wasn't, but he was doing exactly what he was asked to do. And that's the big thing with him, you know? So I don't know, you know, I'm more interested in now, guys. What do you guys think about Lauren Koscielny being named captain? A guy who, you know, may not play this season. He's had an horrific injury. Yeah, truly terrible injury. On top of tendonitis issues, which he's been carrying for the last two seasons. So we're naming another captain who's hardly going to play. I mean, what do you guys think? You know, start with you, Mike.
It felt like a bit of a cop-out to me, obviously. I mean, honestly. I mean, if you want that to be ceremonial, that's fine. I'm not of the opinion Koscielny was a particularly incredible leader to begin with, when he was vice captain and pretty much the on the pitch captain, because of Per Mertesacker's, you know, playing schedule over the last couple of years. But you know, his captaincy was questionable then, in my opinion, and now to retain that, it's not like he's, you know, he's Patrick Vieira after being a captain and then falling into a more, you know, a more figurehead type of role in the latter end of his career, retaining the captaincy as a you know, as a sign of respect. Koscielny was never the captain. He inherited the captaincy in May when Per Mertesacker officially retired, as far as I know. And so I don't think it would have been as disruptive or like it would be stripping him of the captaincy to have said, okay, new day, new era, new captain. Here you are, Ramsey. Here you are, Xhaka. Here you are, Ozil. Here you are, Lichtsteiner. Any of those, to me, would have made more sense than to keep Koscielny as the captain. And, you know, all he's done here is give four or five other people ceremonial roles as the on-pitch captain. And was he going to rotate it every game to see, you know? I mean, who wears the armband next week? Who wore it last week? Check,
yeah.
So who wears it next week?
It won't be Xhaka, trust me.
Well, no, but I mean, but will it be Czech automatically again? Is it his until he's benched and then it goes to someone else? Or, yeah, I don't think that was necessarily Emery's best, you know, best move since he got installed as the coach. But as with everything else, you know, what do I know? I'll let him do what he thinks is best.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, you know, Czech is an introvert. You know, he's not the loudest guy.
Yeah.
you know, it's who he is, okay? You can't change a guy from that. You know, he's been a great servant to the club, but I don't want to knock him at all in that respect. But it just seems strange to me. What's your view on it?
Same as you and Mike. For me, you know, there's two types of leaders. You have the on the pitch and the off the pitch. And we always hear Bergkamp was that off the pitch leader with the work ethic and how he grabbed players one-on-one. On the pitch last season, we saw Koscielny two or three times, while soft goals go in, turn around and just look at who made the mistake. I want a captain who's barking at those players that made the mistake so it doesn't happen again. And we had too many times last year where we let in two or three soft goals. You know, if you had a leader on the pitch who was in that person's ass immediately after that first goal goes in, maybe they try harder on the second. I don't know. But I agree with both of you. I there was enough change in the off season for us to say, and for Unai to say, here's what I'm going to do as a captain. Now, if you come in and you say, I don't know the leadership on the team very well, then just say that. But for me, the obvious choice here is Lichtensteiner or Ramsey. They've both captained at their country level. They've both been captains at club level. And if you look at Lichtensteiner already, you know, even in the match against City, he's already in the referee's ear barking. You see him giving one-on-one sessions with holding in practice and in training. So I want to see a captain who's going to be boisterous, and I want to see a captain who's going to hold others accountable, and I don't see that being Koscielny. And the fact that he's out until the new year is bullshit. And, yeah, Cech probably isn't that guy. I mean, he's up there in age, but he's not a David Seaman where you're hearing him scream off of his line 24/7. It just doesn't happen. So
it shouldn't be like an emeritus award that you get when you've put in a certain number of years.
No,
it can go to somebody who joined the team a month ago if it's the right person.
Yeah.
And Lichtensteiner, which is his actual name, I think would be a great choice, except I just don't know how often he's going to get in ahead of Bellerin based on his age. But, I mean, I love the guy. I mean, to me, Guendouzi's getting all the fanfare, but it's guys with the grit of Torreira and Lichtensteiner that are going to possibly turn this team around if they can get their attitude onto the rest of the team.
I've been saying it since we signed him, but Torreira will be this team's heartbeat in the next 2 to 3 months. I'm almost certain of it. I think he'll be the first name on the team sheet, and he'll be what keeps us going. He will be our Conte, and I can't wait. And I think the only reason he didn't start on Sunday was because of the language barrier, and he's not quite there. But I think he starts against Chelsea. And, you know, he might be that type. That's the type of person we need as a captain. It's the heartbeat of the team. It's who gets the team going, who can get in the face of an opponent when shit hits the fan, who's comfortable enough going over to the referee and saying it how it is. And I think Koscielny was a ceremony. And, you know, I don't see Ozil being a captain. He might be a leader with his ability and his work ethic, but he's not a leader on the pitch.
Right, gents, we've been going about 35 minutes now. And so just want to start you, Andy, your predictions for the upcoming season. And then we're going to move on to the charity thing that you're doing.
Prediction, I think we finish third.
Yeah.
I would like us to just be in the shout and in the running for the league in April.
For the league? As in,
yes.
For the title?
But, like, I want us to be in the conversation of we're statistically still in it in April.
That's optimistic.
So it's more about hoping the other teams suck than it is about
no,
us.
No, I want us statistically still in the mix. I think we're going to finish third. I don't want us finishing third 20 points behind City. I want us, you know, to be there or thereabout. Maybe we're 9 points behind with four to go. We're still statistically in it, right? But I think we finished third.
Mike?
I think if we do finish third 20 points behind City, I still look at that as a smashing success for this season.
Me too.
I mean, to finish 20 points behind City this year might be us finishing on 81 points, which is not a bad outcome, and a third place spot. I think all four spots are direct entry now without the playoff into the Champions League. But the reason I said third on our podcast and I'm optimistic about it is because of how many teams are in utter turmoil right now.
Yeah.
Although it didn't come out that way in the first weekend of the season, you've got three clubs, Tottenham, Chelsea, and Manchester United, who for different reasons all have a lot hanging over their head. They don't have a transition in coaching hanging over their head like we do, but they've got other things. They've got disharmony. They've got, one of them has a change in coaching, and the other's got a whole lot of stadium and lack of transfer movement going on, and there's a lot of nervousness there. So I kind of feel like this season is kind of like the season that Leicester won the league, except there are two teams that are just, you know, very much better than anybody else right now. And so really it's just it's a wide open fight for third through seventh. You know, I do think one team's going to, you know, I don't know which, but Everton, Fulham, you know, whoever is going to jump into that fray, because one of these teams is going to just have an absolute awful year like Chelsea did a few years back and finish seventh or eighth. But I think we can do third. I think anything better than last season would be an improvement. If we finish fifth and don't win any cups, it is going to matter how. If we're losing to teams that are better than us, if we're having trouble adjusting but we're starting to put it together, then I don't know how we'd finish fifth, but I'd still be all right with it. We just have to head in the right direction and keep everybody together. But I see no reason why third isn't possible. I'd say if I had to gamble on it, I would probably say fourth.
Okay, well, everyone listening knows mine and Jason's thoughts on this. There's no point going on about that. Mike, do you want to close this up and talking about your Gooners Against Cancer thing?
Sure. This has been something that we've been talking about almost constantly for the last 2 weeks, so I apologize if it's getting on anyone's nerves. You've got 1 month left to deal with it, but... Gooners versus Cancer is a website. It's an effort that we have initiated along with the partnership from other podcasts who have, you know, like yourself, like Same Old Arsenal, like Clock End, Harry Simeo's podcast, Amanda and the Highbury squad have mentioned some interest in talking about it as well. Just to try to raise awareness and to raise money, which is really the most important thing right now, to give to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, which is a worldwide charity to help fight blood cancer, to provide treatment to families suffering from it, to try to find a cure. And it's a, it's a cause that's close to me. I lost my father 8 years ago to leukemia. Had a lot of lymphoma and other blood cancers in other relatives in my family. And it's just, I know everybody is touched by cancer in one form or another. So my office throws an annual fundraiser that generally raises between $40,000 and $50,000 for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. What I'm hoping is that through the generosity of Gooners around the world, this isn't just a U.S. thing, it's an around the world thing, that you will check out GoonersVersusCancer.com. You can also go to GoonersVCancer.com if you prefer to spell it that way. You can donate anything. It could be a dollar. It could be a pound. It could be five. It could be 10. Whatever you are comfortable donating, but please donate something. And all of the proceeds will be donated directly to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And, my hope is to make this an annual thing, to grow it, and just show how Gooners around the world, I mean, we do a lot of talking, there's a lot of battling between Gooners, but I mean, if you can't come together to fight blood cancer, then I mean, fucking, what are we doing? So that's it. I mean, and you guys, just wanted to thank you and Jason and everybody on the Burkamp Wonderland team for, you know, being so helpful and you know, even people like Gav from SheWar who have been retweeting all of our tweets. And the other day during the transfer deadline, you guys collected some money through some donations that people were giving you and immediately said it would all be going to the charity. So, yeah, my heart is warm with the collaboration that we've all gotten together for this. So we're really hoping to make a mark on it. So we've gotten a lot of shares, a lot of tweets, a lot of likes. We've gotten some donations. We're about a third of the way to the goal, but the donations would really be nice. So thanks for helping to spread the word on it. And, you know, it's probably the one serious thing that ever comes out of my mouth.
Oh, that's brilliant, mate. I'd just like to add, you know, it's been our pleasure. You know, I know, you know, when Danny mentioned you guys, it was like, who the hell are these guys? Gave you a listen, really enjoyed it. You know, and there's a number of pods I listen to around the world, which I just enjoy. I love your perspective. I love the sense of humor. I love the fact you're doing the cancer drive. I just think it's fantastic. And anything made from tonight's show will, again, go to that charity. We'll add that
Thank
on
you.
Top. You know, we want to support you fully. So to all the listeners out there, if you can retweet, please. If, you know, if you can, you know, give a quid. If it's just a quid, it helps, you know.
Yeah, and Craig and Lee last night, I mean, dedicated the entire show to being about Gooners versus Cancer, which was very sweet of them as well. They've donated, they've pledged to donate to the podcast as well. And you know, like he pointed out, I mean, if everybody that listened to this podcast gave £1 or $1, depending on where you are, or one, you know, Mozambican, whatever it is, you know, it would get us to our goal like immediately. And we know that's not going to happen. I mean, we know that most people will hear this and say, you know, I give to a lot of charities already, and that's great. But, you know, if we can get a good number of people say, what's £1? What's £2?
Exactly.
I mean, it will make a difference. I love, you know, I love seeing the $10, $25 donations coming in, and there have been some, and we will thank those people. But when I see the £1 or £2 ones come in from people whose names I don't recognize, that makes my heart warm, because I know that the word's getting out there, and we'd love to see a lot more of those.
Yeah, I this is the one thing, as you said, you know, if it's just a pound, guys, it's appreciated. And it's actually the pounds. Many people giving £1 makes a difference. That's the thing that'll really make a difference. And as Mike said, it touches everyone. I lost my friend Beth last year to breast cancer. What an utterly fucking waste of a life.
Uh-huh.
You know, the most wonderful girl you'll ever know gets taken, you know, at 47 years of age by this heinous disease, you know, this terrible thing, which, you know, we can help people, you know, even if it's just to make their lives more comfortable. Look, just please consider it. You know, we're trying to support them. A retweet, a quid, it'll be fantastic. So, you know, please do that. It would mean the world.
Thank you, Jess.
You know, I just want to congratulate you both. You knocked out a great podcast. You really
Thank
do.
Thank you.
It's fantastic. On behalf of myself, Dan, and all the guys from ABW, you know, congratulations. You've really put together something to be proud of. And, you know, you give that American voice to what is, you know, I know we're a worldwide club now, but an English club. But you represent all those guys who get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, who drive down to the pub, who make the effort, and the effort they make is substantial and fantastic. When you see, I think it's Brendan, what's his name? Larson. Bryce Larson, sorry.
Yeah, Bryce. Yeah, Bryce. Yeah, social media for Arsenal America.
Yeah, he puts together some fantastic videos of people celebrating the recent FA Cup wins.
That first one was outstanding.
Yeah. Unbelievable. And when, you know, it means just as much to, you know, people in the States as it does to people in North London. So, if you want to give the guys a listen, it's Gooners in the USA. I can highly recommend it. It's well worth a listen. We're going to wrap tonight's episode. Danny, thank you as ever.
Cheers. Did you mention that any money we get from this, we're going to give to them as well?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, that's been mentioned. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
Sean was talking. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. These two.
I'm going to play this over and over again to get your clicks up. Now, thanks for having us. You guys are truly our inspiration for podcasting, and the fact that you've said those things to us means more than you could possibly know. So we appreciate it, and we will speak to you again soon on your airways or ours or both.
Yeah, thank you, boys.
Guys, Cheers. Thank you ever so much for being part of this. You know, you've been superb as always. Mike, Andy, you're both punching way above your weight with your wives.
I'll make sure to tell her that. I think she knows, though.
Hey, play this. Who's a cheeky girl, tell her. Okay.
And they'll go, and she'll just go, what did he say?
Yeah. She's like, was that English?
No, it's Welsh. Come to Cardiff. Visit Cardiff. It's fantastic. Look, thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure. That was a Bergkamp Wonderland. thank you ever so much for listening. Good night. Nanu nani, cheeky fuckers.
Oh, I nearly pressed record then, you big minge.